ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इज़् इन्फिनिट् and this universe is also infinite. The infinite proceeds from the infinite. Taking the infinitude of the infinite universe, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. We have completed the 8th mantra in the 4th section of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, and that concerns about the psychology of love. The essence is, there is nobody in this world who loves anything else other than his or her own self. One's own self is the dearest, nearest, most beloved. And what is the nature of one's own self? Pure joy, ananda swarupa, unbroken happiness. It is not broken. It is not accompanied by its opposite called dukkha. In this world, everything comes in a dualistic form. Dual doesn't mean two. Dual means everything comes with its opposite. Happiness, unhappiness, life, death, good, evil, honor, dishonor, profit, loss, etc. These words we get in the Bhagavad Gita very often. Sukha dukkhe samay kritva labha labhav jaya jayo. One should keep one's mind among these, in the midst of these realities, absolutely calm and quiet, because they come and go. But one's desire will be for ananda, for bliss. Why? Because I am, you are, everything is Brahman. The nature of Brahman is Sat Chit Ananda. So we are really wanting to be our own selves, which implies that at the moment we think we are not Brahman. That is the subject matter. So the quest of every jiva is only for, let me not die, let me not be ignorant, and let me never be unhappy. Let me live eternally. Let me know everything, and let me be always have unbroken joy. That is possible. Is it possible? Yes, it is possible. How is it possible? Because that's my nature. So what is my nature now? Nature doesn't change, but our perception of nature changes. I think I am not Brahman, therefore I am covered by the net of death, of little knowledge, or sometimes absence of knowledge, or complete misunderstanding of what is right, what is truth, and we are having a little bit of happiness, surrounded by, bracketed by unhappiness. 99% unhappiness, 1% happiness. Whenever we forget any object, and what results in is called broken happiness. So that is the subject matter of every scripture in this world. That is a state of knowledge, not even a state of the mind, but state of knowledge. That is called full knowledge, purnam. And that is the subject matter. Whether we know it or not, we are in search of our own selves, like a musk deer is in search of the intoxicating fragrance that emanates from its own self. So this subject matter is coming here, and these mantras in the first chapter, which is called Madhuvidya, honey. The knowledge of honey. Honey means what? That which is most dear.
That's why in English language, those who love each other, they call dear, dear like that. So what is most dear? That my own nature, I myself, I am the most dear, I am the nearest to myself. But what is the problem? At this moment, I am not aware of it. And this discussion was coming. So as we all know, that Brahman becomes the whole universe. First, it becomes the objects without life, jada. Then slowly, this inorganic matter evolves into organic matter. Organic matter always means with life. And this is not coming from another planet, but it's coming from evolving from so-called inorganic life sleeping dormant. That is called inorganic. And life manifests slowly. That is called organic. And beginning from one celled, then infinite celled, then through from amoeba, insects, birds, animals, then all the plant kingdom, bird kingdom, then finally life evolves into human nature. After millions of births, slowly through experience, man awakens. And then he starts thinking, why am I suffering? Is there any way out of this suffering? Does anybody know what is the way and how to be without death, without ignorance, without suffering? And the scriptures tell us, yes, there were people, and a scripture is nothing but the experience of a rishi or a sage, who knows, who has gone beyond the limitations of this anatma, time, space and causation. So this mantras, 9th and 10th in the 4th section, are the very heart essence of this entire Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, all the Upanishads, all Gita, the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, the Bible, the Quran, the Guru Granth Sahib, every scripture of every religion, the essence is only one. How can I become God? God means, we may not dare to say, I wish to become God, but I wish that I have no death, I wish I have no ignorance, I wish I will never ever experience even 1 billionth of unhappiness for 1 trillionth of a second also. So that is the subject matter which is expressed beautifully in this 9th and 10th mantras. 9th mantra is a small mantra and it is only one mantra. Tadahur yad brahma vidyaya sarvam bhavishyanto manushyah manyanti kimu tad brahma avet yasmat tat sarvam abhavat iti. This is the original mantra in the 4th section, 9th mantra. Let us first split the sentence and then understand the English meaning. Tat ahuhu. They say, explanation will come later on, we will deal with it. Tat ahu means, it looks as if some people, those who are awakened, uttishtata, jagrata, prapya varan nibodhata. So a person has been sleeping to the knowledge of one's own self, and after a lot of suffering, he starts thinking, and ultimately he studies the scriptures and he understands that there is a way out of this suffering. One need not have even the slightest bit of suffering. On the other hand, one can have infinite amount of ananda. Even the world happiness, joy, pleasure, these will not cover that word ananda. It is a very specific word which means infinite and eternal happiness. Simplest way of translating the word ananda is unbroken happiness for all eternity. Even 1 trillionth of a second, we are not bound. We are not deviating from that experience even now. but the mind creates all the problems. So there were some people, they awoke and then they became aware that I am suffering. And they became aware there is a way out of suffering. Then they became aware that there are some people who know, who have gone beyond the net of Maya, beyond time, space and causation. So those people are teaching, they are available. So here we can pause and ask a question. Are these Brahmagnanis available even today? Now? Yes. The scripture gives unequivocal answer that the question should not be, are there such people? The question should be, am I fit to approach such people? When I am fit, immediately I recognize. And then the scriptural support is there. Any day, every time, everywhere, there would be some people who have realized God in simple words, or who knew I am Brahman, but they cannot be recognized by unfit people. So such people are available only for those who are fit. Only they can recognize, they can approach, and they surrender themselves. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninaha tattvadarshinaha. So they are available. And then Sri Ramakrishna used to say, or even Swami Vivekananda used to say, when the field is ready, the seed must come. There was a wonderful incident in the life of Nagamahashaya. Sri Ramakrishna was asked by Nagamahashaya, I would like to renounce home because I think home is not a proper place for pursuing spiritual sadhanas, practices. Sri Ramakrishna said, no, you be at home. You will be a shining example of one, how one can be a married person, one can be with family, and one can also realize Brahman. Even recent times in Bombay, there was a great soul called Nisargadatta Maharaj, and his conversations have become very popular, and they are available now on the internet also. Nisargadatta Maharaj. He was a very ordinary person, probably running a tea shop or I do not remember, but he was like fire, covered up. But then some people discovered him and they started coming. All great people have to be discovered. Ramana Maharshi was also discovered. Somewhere sitting there in a cave, but people recognized there is something very special about him. Sri Ramakrishna was recognized. Swami Vivekananda was recognized. Who can recognize? Only fit people can recognize. Then there was a discussion now. We would like to obtain the same experience and know like these knowers of Brahman. So then these people, some Brahmanas, who is a Brahmana, not a caste Brahmana, but one who is eager for Brahma Jnana. Brahma Janati iti Brahmanaha. One who really knows Brahman through experience, not through second-hand information like studying the books, etc., or hearing even lectures, but by one's own practice, experience, he is called a Brahmana. This is a beautiful shloka. Quite a number of times I have quoted, everyone is only a Shudra. According to Hinduism, Shudra is the lowest caste, which means highly ignorant. Janmana jayate Shudra. Samskarat vijavuchyate. But this person becomes, through proper training of thoughts, either by parents, by the teachers, guru, or one's own effort, they eliminate, they overcome unhelpful samskaras, develop positive, strength-giving, spiritual samskaras, and it may take several lives. Such people are called dvijas, twice born. The words, when a Brahmin, etc., undergoes the ceremony called Yajnopavita or baptism. In every religion, it is there. It is to enter, step into a spiritual life, a new life as it were. New life means that which in which the worldly, previous worldly life is dead and a new beginning is made. That is called birth. New birth means new beginning. Like, that is why every new year is a new start. But then why only every new year? Every day, as soon as we get up from deep sleep, it is a new year because a new opportunity. God gives it to everybody. So some people, they are called Brahmanas. But samskara should lead to the feet of the Guru through whom a person learns the very essence of scriptures. Scripture is another form of God, or to know about God. What is the relationship between me and God? Who am I really? Am I related to God? In which way? Am I separate from God but related, or very near to Him, part of Him, or am I the whole of Him? Purnam. That is how spiritual progress is made. So such people, they were discussing about them. We had enough of this worldly life. We would like to become Brahman. How do one become? How does one become a musician? By making oneself music. Learning means becoming. How does one become a carpenter? By becoming a carpenter. How does one become a good cook? By becoming a good cook. How does one become a good swimmer? By swimming. There is no intellectual knowledge. One has to become what one wants to be. So these people, we would like to become Brahman. And why do we want to become Brahman? Because Brahma Vidyaya Sarvam Bhavishyantaha. Once we understand through knowledge of Brahma, Brahma Vidya, Brahma Vid Apnoti Param. A knower of Brahman attains the very highest. What do you mean by highest? He goes beyond death. He goes beyond ignorance. He goes beyond suffering. That is called Brahma Vidya. What is Brahma Vidya? Becoming or knowing I am Brahman. That is called Brahma Vidya. Then what do I become? Brahman. What is Brahman? Everything. Sarvam. Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. So it looks some of these great seekers of Brahman gathered together and they were earnestly trying to find out what is the best way to think, to know that I am Brahman. The discussion started, a debate started. Yet, tat ahoho, these people were discussing. Yet, Brahma Vidyaya Sarvam Bhavishyantaha Manushyaha Manyante. So, men think, which men? Not ordinary man, not a worldly person, but people who know what they are talking about. That is to say, those who are knowers of Brahman, they think. They think means they know. Through the knowledge of Brahman, we shall become all. Or anybody can become all. Then a small deviation has come. Kim utat Brahma avet. Well then, what did that Brahman know? That Brahman about which we are discussing. Kim, who avet, what did it know? That means what knowledge Brahman has got, because of which it became everything. So it is a repetition, so to say. Yasmat tat sarvam abhavat iti. Because of which it became everything. So the answer should be, there were some seekers of Brahman. They gathered together, they were having a debate. In that debate, they expressed, and all of them, we would like to become Brahman. Naturally, it is a discussion. So somebody, not to have doubt, not because a person is having doubt, so they were asking the question. No, they know it. But then, they want to clarify, more clarification. What is that clarification? All right, what is Brahma? Brahma is Sarvam. All right, how did Brahma become Sarvam? How did Brahman become everything? Now, this question is a very deep question, because apparently on the surface, it looks as if we are questioning God Himself. How did you become God? So this question, how did you become, is completely irrelevant according to the science of logic, because what it means is, I was not God, but I have acquired some knowledge, maybe God knowledge, and by acquiring that knowledge, I have become God. But Advaita Vedanta very strenuously disagrees with this kind of understanding. If somebody, first of all, somebody whose nature is something else, non-God, cannot become God. Second, how did this person become Brahman? So through some spiritual practice, sadhana. So then, Brahman, Brahman, Sarvam, Abhavat. Becoming everything becomes an achievable goal. I did not have that power to become all. That means having all happiness, having pure existence, having every knowledge, all knowledge, I was not having, but having become Brahman, I obtained all these things. So logic teaches us, if somebody becomes something else, that means, implies that someone was not Brahman, but through some means, that person had somehow become identified with Brahman, and then like Brahman, he became all. So, what is the point we are discussing? The discussion is not about Brahman. According to Advaita, Brahman is eternal, ever-existing reality. So, therefore, how did Brahman become Brahman? How did it become all? The question does not apply to Brahman. But another person who thought he was not Brahman, but he heard that by practicing certain disciplines, one can become Brahman. So he practiced these things and he became Brahman. I hope this logic is, I am trying to make it as clear as possible. It takes time for you to understand. So, according to Advaita logic, what one becomes, becomes means what? I was not this, but I became this after sadhana. So according to Advaita, one's own nature can never be changed. Sugar, for example, was not sugar. Sugar was not sweet, and it practiced some discipline, and then it became sweet, and that name for sweetness is called sugar. Therefore, I became sugar. I was not sugar. I was not non-sugar. So, being non-sugar, I practiced something, I knew something, I became sugar. This logic is not acceptable at all, because what these Advaitins tell through logic is, if a person who is not sweet becomes sugar through some means, that means one can change oneself into something else. If one can change oneself into something else, why can't, after becoming sugar, he can also become bitter, he can also become salty, he can also become sour, maybe sour persons are like that. So what is meant is that if a person is of a particular nature, and what is nature, that which can never be deviated from, changed into, one remains. Sweetness will ever remain sweetness in whichever form. Maybe sugar cane, maybe some fruits are very sweet. Sweetness will be sweetness irrespective of whatever it is. You can't change them. Impossible. Nature cannot be changed. And then if something can be changed, it attains changeability. Changeability means, yes, you have become, you are not God, you became God. Later on, you became non-God, etc. That is not acceptable. So we have to say, there is something called Brahman. That Brahman is of the nature of Satchidananda, and that nature of Satchidananda never changes again. So then, we can only infer from this discussion of the Brahmins, this, that they must have been discussing about somebody who was an ignorant person. So his nature was Brahman, but he was not aware of it. But he came to know through the scripture, oh man, you are thinking you are a man, but really you are not a man. You are none other than Brahman. Tat Tvam Asi. And then he would not believe at first. For Janma Janmantara, life after life, this person came believing that I am not Brahman. So overnight, such a thing cannot change. But then he started practicing certain disciplines. Then he started understanding, really, if I am the body, then body should be eternal. But every millisecond, body is changing. And that which is changing cannot be myself. Similarly, apply this to the mind also. If I am the mind, I should be there. If I am a happy person, what is mind? Mind means thoughts. So what is this thought? The moment the thought comes that I am a happy person, I am very happy, and it should never change. But then what do we find? Even the smallest mosquito sound changes my happiness into complete opposite. So that which is changing cannot be called my nature. So by definition, nature is that which cannot be changed. And that which can be changed is not my nature. So therefore, there was a person and he acquired faith in the scriptures. So then he understood intellectually. I thought I was a human being. I thought I was subject to birth and death. I thought I am subject to happiness, unhappiness, and varied circumstances, birth, adolescence, youth, middle age, old age, disease, death, what we call shad ripu, shad vikaras, sixfold changes. So that which is changing cannot be my nature. And therefore, through surrendering to a Sadguru, and the Sadguru slowly takes him forward and forward, and one day he realizes that I am Brahman. So this man, who was an ignorant person, after a long time woke up and became aware of his condition and approached a right teacher, surrendered himself and practiced what the teacher taught and realized, like my guru, I am also Brahman. As Brahman, me and Guru, there are no differences at all. So this is the gist. So then, these Brahma Jignasus, Brahma Sadhakas, they were having this discussion. So there are some people, and they understood that if we can become Brahman, we will become everything. That means, there is no second. Ekameva Dvitiyam naasti. There is no second. And we cannot think even of Brahman, whether Brahman was this or that or what. We can only say, how do I know what is Brahman? As Sri Ramakrishna told, he practiced. Vivekananda Swami told, he also practiced. He realized, I am Brahman. So, that is how we all realize. Then what did this person realize? He realized, I am Brahman. What does that mean? That means this person, he says, I am everything. What does it mean? I am me, meaning this body mind which you see. I am you who is looking at me, experiencing me. I am every object that you can come across. There is nothing besides me which is not me. So Brahma Vidyaya Sarvam Bhavishyanta. So if I become everything, what is the benefit? If we think deeply with concentration, we understand when I become everything, happiness and unhappiness, good and evil, everything becomes absolutely merged into one pure consciousness. That means these are not real. Happiness is not real, and equally unhappiness is not real. Birth is not real. Death is not real, because when two opposite things are happening and I am identifying myself with both, like watching a cinema where there is a birth, where there is growth, where there is death, where there are enemies fighting with each other. There is poverty, there is wealth, and then we see wealthy people becoming poor, poor people becoming wealthy, living people are dead, new babies are born, and then we see that these people were acting there. They're only acting because as soon as the drama is over, they will all come out to bow down before the audience, receive their applause. So we appreciate their talent. So all this is natana, only a pretense. It is not true. So then everything, the greatest evil that we see in a drama, in a cinema, becomes a source of joy. This is called rasasvadana or aesthetic happiness. Aesthetic happiness, I know you are all intelligent people, but I am just trying to clarify. Suppose some great painter has painted the picture of the most miserable person on earth, an old man, diseased, shrunken, and man or woman, the painting shows such unimaginable misery coming out of that picture. Involuntarily we exclaim, ah, how realistic it looks, how real it looks. We don't say it is real, how realistic it looks. That means it is looking, the painter's greatness is to bring out to life what is not life. Lifeless portrait, bringing it to life. Lifeless bhajans, brought to life. Lifeless literature, brought to life. So like that, the experience will be there. So whether it is happiness or misery, whether a baby is born or the baby is dead, every bit becomes enjoyable. When we identify ourselves as only witnesses. Witnessing means what? I don't identify myself with any particular object. That means I become identified with everybody. I am the evil person doing terrible, indescribable, unimaginary evil. I am also the good person, a saint, who is in spite of all these sufferings, am expressing, manifesting godliness. Both I am identified. And therefore, at that time, we become complete witnesses. We do not even understand what is the meaning of being a witness. Being a witness means enjoying everything. Not like peeping through our window and so many people are coming, some are shouting, some are quarreling, and then we become indifferent. No. Witnessing means to become everything without partially dissecting and identifying one part, rejecting the other part. So we equal samadrishti, that is called witness. It is not an indifferent look, it is to know whatever I am witnessing is not real. What is real? The enjoyment is real. When we become witness, the indescribable joy that we experience can never be described in words. So, there are also examples in the life of Sri Ramakrishna. One day, there are many examples, but this is well known to most of you. So, one day Sri Ramakrishna was standing on the Dakshineswar in a porch, and he was watching the huge Ganges flowing serenely. There were some boatmen, and two boatmen were quarreling at quite a distance, but they can be clearly perceived. And one stronger boatman gave a big blow to the weaker boatman, and that fellow cried out. And Sri Ramakrishna was experiencing it, and he cried out. Sri Ramakrishna's voice is not a whisper. He's like a lion's roar. When he wants, he can roar like a lion. People don't take notice of it. Swami Vivekananda could do that. 5,000 people could hear with pin drop silence every single syllable that he uttered. Is it poetic fancy? No. A witness who witnessed this, she described that the whole hall became absolutely silent, pin drop silent. Swamiji had that power. Usually what happens, whenever we see, I have seen so many times, you can watch on the YouTube also, Swami is talking and people even right in front, sitting and talking and joking and prodding each other, we get so many things. That shows that Swami, the lecturer, the teacher, is not able to draw their attention. But here is Swami, the moment he gets up, and you know Swamiji's speciality, he never starts his lecture straight away. This is my opportunity. I don't want to lose a second. So let me drill into these people brains whatever I want to tell. No. He will just stand for a few moments, surveying the whole thing like a lion, sitting on a high ground and surveying everything. And there is some power, mysterious power. Whole audience, their attention was drawn one-pointedly to Swami Vivekananda. Perhaps you know this, but some of you may not know at all. When Swamiji, Swami Vivekananda, stands on the podium, everybody becomes like small ants, smallest of the ants. Who was telling? Swami Atulanandaji, later on called Gurudas Maharaj. He attended the second, when Swami Vivekananda visited America for the second time for his health, then he saw. So he was actually given Brahmacharya by Swami Abhedanandaji, but he was fortunate enough to receive Mantra Diksha from Holy Mother herself. Holy Mother loved him as her own child. So he said, and Swami Vivekananda, he entered into the hall, and there were many known people to him from earlier visits, and they all were joyous to meet Swami Vivekananda. To be in the company of a Brahmagna is to be joyful. There is no place for misery. At least for the time being, all misery will be kept at a long distance. So Swami Vivekananda chatting, and Swami Atulananji was thinking, some thoughts were passing through his mind. Is this so-called Swami Vivekananda? He was not even tall. He was not even fat. He was not even strong. What is so great about him? Why people, with subdued silence, with the highest reverence, talk about Swami Vivekananda? So he was wondering in his own mind that why. Then he said, the meeting was over with the devotees. It was time for him to get up on the podium, and then he got up onto the podium. And when he stood there, surveying like a lion, surveying his whole domain, sitting on a very high place, high mountain, etc., then he said, suddenly I perceived, he looked as though he had spread himself unto the sky. He was the tallest person in the whole world. Everybody became a pygmy compared to him. And then silence fell, as if nobody can think, much less talk about anything else, excepting their complete attention, as if a huge magnet has pulled every small iron filing towards itself. Of course, these are not his exact words, but they convey the meaning quite well. So then he opened his mouth. What did Swami Vivekananda do? Later on we know that I watch the people, I draw their attention, I make their minds attain to the highest best they can, and then they have no other awareness of anybody else excepting the voice that stems from myself. From myself means Aham Brahmasmi. So there are so many incidents I don't want to tell, But this is just to say, when Swami Vivekananda stands there, nobody can even think of anything else. But what is this? Tremendous joy, tremendous positiveness, tremendous peace, tremendous joy, indescribable joy. What is its cause? Nobody can tell, because he drew all of them unto himself, like himself. That is the power. So these great people who came here eager to realize Brahman, so what is, where from this power is coming? How come this man? He appears to be very ordinary, but he makes a lasting impression upon everybody. This is a very common phenomena. Those who go to Sri Ramakrishna, they are attracted again and again. Those who go to Ramana Maharshi, they are attracted again and again. So, what is that power? And if we become, attain to that same state, we can also become like him. Because only a power storehouse of Ananda can alone give Ananda to anybody else. Nobody else can give. Whatever one has, that much only one give. If a person has 5 grams of happiness, very soon it will be exhausted. But here is a man who is the source of infinity. So, these people started thinking they must have come across some such person. Maybe they gathered in an ashrama where there was a rishi. And I am sure there was some, even though they did not mention, because who is teaching them? The teaching that is coming there from as an answer to the questions that arose in the minds of these seekers of Brahman are answered in the next mantra, the most important mantra in the whole Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, the very essence, which is called Upadesha Kanda, the main teaching, where this Mahavakya comes, Aham Brahmasmi. So we imagine, so Kim Utat Brahmavi, what did this, our Gurudeva, who always teaches us Aham Brahmasmi, so what did he understand? What knowledge he obtained? Well then, what did that Brahman know? Esma. And because of that knowledge of Brahman, tat sarvam abhavat iti, because of which that he became all, that means he became pure sat, pure chit, and pure ananda. So we have to imagine that these people were discussing about Brahman. Why were they discussing? Because they were, suddenly they awoke from this millions of lives of the net of avidya or maya. They become aware, like Sri Ramakrishna says, that the young chicks of Homa bird falling down after several days, suddenly their eyes are opened. They realize we will be smashed to pieces, smithereens. So they turn back to their mother, who is high up in the sky. Symbolism. Our mother is the divine mother, or Brahman, Shakti. And we are all her children. And we are falling down. And then suddenly, after a long time, after many lives, we realize we'll be smashed to death. Endless suffering seems to be our fate. Then these people become awake, arise, awake, and stop not till the goal is reached. Then they turn back. That turning back is called joining a Sadguru, and then complete, with complete faith, Shraddha, surrendering themselves. Whatever you say is only God saying that. There is no difference between you and God. Gurur Brahma, Gurur Vishnu, Gurur Devo, Maheshwaraha. So, Kim Utat Brahma Avet, because of which he became everything, that means he became ekam. There is no dvitiya. How did he become that? Let us know. Let us also surrender. Let us humbly ask, serve him, please him, and ask our question, and he will bestow his grace. An important point we have to note down here is, the Guru's teaching. Sadguru's teaching is not a teaching. It is grace flowing in the form of words, entering into the hearts of the listeners, sincere seekers, and awakening them to their own true nature. Beautiful topic. We will talk about it in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuhu. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.